You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
Wow, what a beautiful Christmas Eve. And what a poignant question, am I still invited? You know, that would be funny, a lot of the video that we saw, if it wasn't so real, right? Especially the IRS action call. How many of you have gotten that call and thought, I know it's not real, but they said someone's on the way to the house right now from the sheriff's department, so surely I should call them, but I know I shouldn't, but maybe I should, and you were in no man's land for a minute. Anybody? Nobody called them, did they? Okay, good. But it would all be funny if it wasn't so close to home. And the question always lingers. And maybe you've been thinking about it, especially coming into this Christmas season. Am I still invited? With the God of heaven, would he still want me? Do I have a place in the family of God? I'm not sure if I even have a place in my family right now, much less a place in God's family. And I think we find the answer to that question today in the Bethlehem star. You know, there was an astrological phenomenon, some kind of astronomical occurrence that led these magi from the east all the way to Bethlehem. And you would think that if this whole Christmas thing, by the way, was a myth or a hoax, that astronomers in a modern age would have already quash that story. But quite the contrary is true. If you look to the astronomers of the day, they actually postulate various possibilities for what the Magi saw in the sky that would have led them all the way to Bethlehem. One of the great theories is an alignment of planets, which would only happen in a very, very rare circumstance. And many of the astrological and astronomical explanations that you'll hear about the star Regulus. Regulus is in the constellation Leo. And any of the kids that are still awake after the little Debbie Christmas tree cake know what the constellation Leo, what animal that represents? Any kids know? The lion. In that constellation, the lion, Leo, is a star called Regulus. On any night sky, it is one of the brightest stars in the sky. And many astronomers think that Regulus was a part of the equation that caused such a significant event to happen that these wise men, who themselves may have been astronomers, to leave the east and to make the long journey to Bethlehem. Now, the thing about Regulus, it's amazing, is not how bright it is alone, but how far away it is from planet Earth. Regulus is 77 light years from Earth. Now, you're thinking already, is it possible to come to an Easter gathering or a Christmas gathering at Passion City Church where we don't have to learn about astronomy? Can maybe one Christmas we just talk about the elves that were at the manger, or, you know, something else normal or regular about the Christmas story? But Regulus is maybe the answer in part to the question, are you still invited to Christmas? You know, light's moving quick. We talk about that all the time, 186,000 miles a second. So if you want to throw that into the Christmas lunch, by the way, let's just say it together. You can get the number in your head. Light's moving 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. That means a beam of light could go around the earth 7 times in 1 second. Faster than some of you came down 400 coming to this gathering just now. That means when light leaves the surface of the sun, it only takes it 8 minutes to cover the 93 million mile journey from the surface of the sun to your skin in Atlanta, Georgia. Isn't that amazing? So that means, if you're doing your math right, that the sun is 8 light minutes away. But when you talk about something like Regulus, you don't just talk about its brightness, you talk about how far away it is. And when you're talking about a star like Regulus in the constellation Leo, distance is really of no consequence because our minds can't comprehend those size numbers in miles. And so we talk about years. It's 77 light years away. And everyone, I think, knows what that means. But just a little demonstration, if we can. If this is Regulus shining bright in Leo and lighting a way possibly for the Magi to head to Bethlehem, and it's emitting an enormous amount of powerful light at the right electromagnetic frequency so that it can be seen by the human eye, and it leaves Regulus traveling throughout the universe, moving the direction of Earth, that before that light would have reached the eyes of the Magi, before they would begin their journey to Bethlehem, the light would have traveled for 77 years to reach their eyes. Meaning the light left there 77 years ago before it arrived in the east to lead them to Bethlehem. You're like, what does that have to do with whether or not God is inviting me into the Christmas miracle this year? It has everything to do with it, because what it means is this, that long before the shepherds were with their flocks at night, and long before Mary and Joseph would have left Nazareth on their journey to Bethlehem to register, long before there was an Immaculate Conception or a decree from Caesar Augustus, long before all of that happened, the Bethlehem light of Christmas had already left Regulus, already was on its way to planet Earth. Long before people even knew there was going to be a Christmas night, God had already sent the light on its journey to Earth. And in the very same way, long before you or I were ever born, long before we did our best thing or our worst thing, long before we made a success of our lives or a mess of our lives, long before we thought we were good enough for God or we knew we weren't good enough for God, long before any of that happened, God had already sent the invitation of Christmas on its way. The light of Bethlehem was on its way to you long before you even knew you needed peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Are you still invited? Well, if it's based on what you did yesterday or the day before, or whether you measured up or you didn't, whether you thought you were good enough or you didn't, then maybe the question is still open. But if you hear the story of the gospel, it says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. In the ancient days, there was a tradition called the lighting of the lamps. When the sun would set and the evening would fall, believers would gather for worship, but they would gather as darkness came. And I love personally that of all the ages God could have chosen to send his son into the world, he chose to send him into an ancient age way before there was electricity or any kind of neon light or LED light or any kind of incandescent light bulb. Jesus was born, I believe, by the will and design of God in an era where light was a flame. Because in that day and time, that flame was so treasured and valuable. It was essential, that flame, for life. And moreover, it was transferable. In other words, if I had a flame and evening fell, I could share my flame with you. And then you would have the same flame, but now we would both have that flame. And you could share the flame with your neighbor, and they could share with their neighbor, and I could share with another neighbor, and soon 10 neighbors or 100 neighbors or 1,000 neighbors or an entire city of neighbors could all share from the same light. It was that culture and that mindset that God sent his son into, so that when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," people didn't think about a switch on a wall or the little button underneath the Christmas tree. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," people would think you are essential and treasured. Somewhat mysterious, but maybe possibly also transferable, that Jesus could be the light that becomes my light and your light and the neighbor's light and the co-worker's light and my brother's light and the city's light. All the light could become the light of Christ illuminating the world. This was the power of the lighting of the lamps. And the early believers, the early church, the first candlelight services. The tradition tells us a candle was kept burning in the tomb, though empty, of Joseph of Arimathea. The early church knew exactly the spot where Joseph of Arimathea's tomb was. And a candle perpetually was kept burning in that tomb as a symbol and a sign. Jesus is alive. Like the gospel said in John chapter 1, when it talked about this Jesus that we're celebrating today, it says, through him, through Jesus, all things were made. And without him, nothing has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then look what it says. It says in the next verse that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so they would gather around the symbol of the enduring resurrection life of Jesus. And as they would come for the lighting of the lamps, a light from the empty tomb of Joseph of Arimathea would become the source of light for all the lamps. And now, as all the lamps glowed, the church would sing one of the oldest hymns of our faith called the Phos Hilaron. It translates "Hail, gladdening light," a hymn that celebrates Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but a hymn that most celebrates Jesus, light from light, God from God, coming into the world to illuminate the world with grace and truth. And so on our way to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we thought, boy, we're ringing in a brand new decade. The Roaring Twenties are back. And what way would we more want to usher in a New Year's Eve celebration in the premier stadium in America than to bring a light from Jerusalem, from a cave in a cemetery near the place where Jesus was raised from the dead, and to bring that flame still burning all the way to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And that's exactly what we set out to do. You're like, boy, I don't think that's possible, because they'll fine you for even tampering with the lavatory smoke detector on Delta. How are you going to get a flame all the way from Jerusalem to America? Well, it turns out we know people. So we called all the people we know, and they one by one all said, "No way." But with God, there's always a way. I knew there was a way to bring a flame on a plane because I happen to be that old. Some of you are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The younger generations all freaked out, like, "Oh my goodness, you can't bring that on a plane. I know it's got to be some kind of a deal because y'all really didn't put that on an airplane." I'm like, listen, bro, people used to light up on the plane. Anybody remember those days when you could smoke on an airplane? commercial flight. Anybody ever smoked on a commercial flight? Can back me up. Thank you so much. These people smoked on a commercial flight. It happened. Yes, right over here. There was an ashtray in the armrest. Give you a light. So I knew you can get a flame on a plane. We just got to figure it out. And our team did. A family that's very dear to this church, who happened to own a small plane, said, we'll give it a go. And they volunteered three pilots and their plane. Their plane needed to make many, many stops, actually, to make it to Israel. And not until they were just taking off from Sicily did they finally get the last permission from the Italian security to land the plane in Tel Aviv. And a few Tuesdays ago, Camillo and myself lit a flame in a cave in a cemetery outside the old city walls of Jerusalem, just steps away from where the Son of God was raised from the dead. And then that flame began its journey home, needing to make those same number of stops. So it visited Athens, Greece, and London, England, and Iceland, and Canada, and America on its way home. Here's just a little glimpse of the journey that the flame is making on its way to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Εσείς είστε το φως του κόσμου. Πόλη που κοίταται πάνω σε βουνό δεν μπορεί να κρυφτεί. Ούτε ανάβουν ένα λιχνάρι και το βάζουν κάτω από το μόδι, αλλά επάνω στο λιχνοστάτη. Και φέγγει σε όλους αυτούς που είναι μέσα στο σπίτι. Έτσι ας λάμψει το φως σας μπροστά στους ανθρώπους, για να δουν τα καλά σας έργα και να δοξάσουν το Πατέρα σας που είναι στους ουρανούς.
You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
Þeir eru ljós heimsins, borg sem á fjalli stendur færri ekki dulist. Ekki kveikja menn heldur ljós og setja undir mælikér heldur á ljósastiku og þá lýsir það öllu í húsinu. Þannig lýsir ljós yðar meðal mannanna að þeir sjáu góð verk yðar og vexa með föður yðar sem á himnum.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Yeah, what's truly amazing about that journey is that we're all a part of Passion City Church. And so today, at our Christmas Eve gathering, it's pretty special that Jerusalem flame has made its way to our gathering here on Christmas Eve. Jada Sheriff and her family, her mom and daughter. The last time she came down this aisle was at the funeral service for her husband this year. We just want to say Merry Christmas and peace and grace of God to the Sheriff family. Jesus is the light of the world. And that light came into the world, and the world did not overcome it. So many people have marveled at the 6,500 mile journey of this very flame. Like, how can a flame stay burning? How can a flame stay lighted all that way? And once we got out of Israel, we were good. I don't know if you've ever been through a situation where you made all the arrangements and talked to all the people and got all the permissions, and then when you actually showed up for the event, the person you talked to wasn't there. That ever happened to you? And the whole plan fell apart. That was our departure from Tel Aviv, Israel. The person at the security desk at the FBO where that jet was taking off saw us coming with a crate of four of these. There's four of them, one and three backups, all lighted from the original flame. And the person at the desk was like, yeah, no, you're not getting on that plane with those. And we're like, no, it's all taken care of, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, no way that's happening. And so a few phone calls were made, some supervisors were brought in, another supervisor, the top supervisor, then some phone calls were made outside the airport and Israeli security, they don't mess around. And so finally now there's a 30-minute wait, and after a half hour wait, the phone rings and the person at the desk says, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding you. I thought you said okay, can you speak more clearly? Okay, they can go. They can take the fire, the burning fire, four burning fires. Okay. And then off the flame went to the Acropolis. What a journey. Went to the Tower Bridge, made a journey through the streets of Reykjavik, traveled over Greenland and touched down in Canada. Arrived in New York and went to Times Square. What a journey. Went to the National Mall, made it to Passion City Church, Atlanta, Georgia. It's on its way to usher in a new decade at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And people have said, I just don't see how that could happen. And I say, are you kidding me? We are here celebrating the fact that God left his throne in heaven, took on human flesh, entered into history in the form of a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. God in humanity, raised up, perfect in every way, so that he could say yes to the one thing none of us could ever do, which is pay in full for the sins of mankind, so that he could willingly go to the cross. He could give his life in exchange for you and me. He could pay the price for all the wrongs and all the sins, be put in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, sealed up, dead and done, yet on the third day raised up to everlasting life by the power of Almighty God. The light came into the world, but the world could not overcome the light. And if you think it's a miracle that we got this thing here, it is a miracle. The stories are endless, from the three pilots, the permissions, the things that had to happen, the doors that had to open, the transcontinental journey, and all the things that had to line up just right. But nothing like the fact that long before you and I were even born, God had already sent Bethlehem's light our way. And John went on to say that the light of the world, Jesus, came to his own people, and they did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him. To those, the scripture says, who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, born not of the flesh and not of the will of man, but born of God. So two things are on the table today. The invitation has been extended, and the question has been answered. Am I still invited? As long as Jesus is alive from the dead with scars in his hands and feet, then you are still invited to the miracle that is Christmas.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.